10. I hate camping, Lauren grunted, tripping over the crumpled canvas. Yeah, well, it's my birthday and I like it, Kara said, reading over the instructions with her tongue tucked between her teeth. It was the final Friday of summer, and the three of them were in a small clearing in a beech forest on the outskirts of Fairview. Kara's choice for her early 18th birthday celebration? To sleep without a roof and squat pee behind dark trees all night. It wouldn't have been Pip's choice either, but she knew how to pretend well enough. It's technically illegal to camp outside of a registered campsite, Lauren said, kicking the canvas in retaliation. Well, let's hope the camping police don't check Instagram because I've announced it to the world. Now hush, Kara said. I'm trying to read. Kara, Pip said tentatively. You know this isn't a tent you brought, right? It's a canopy with sides. Same difference, she said. And we have to fit us and the three boys in. But it comes with no floor. Pip jabbed her finger at the picture on the instructions. You come with no floor, Kara butt-shoved her away. And my dad packed us a separate ground sheet. When are the boys getting here? Lauren asked. They texted about 2 minutes ago they were leaving. And no, Kara snapped. We're not waiting for them to put it up for us, Lauren. I wasn't suggesting that. Kara cracked her knuckles. Dismantling the patriarchy one tent at a time. Canopy, Pip corrected her. Do you want me to hurt you? Canopy. 10 minutes later, a full 10-by-20-foot white pop-up canopy stood on the forest floor, looking as out of place as anything could. Pip checked her phone. It was 7:30 already. Darkness would be upon them in another hour or so. This is going to be so fun. Kara stood back to admire their handiwork, wiping her hands on her jeans. I love camping. Time for vodka and peach rings until I puke. Admirable goal, Pip said. Do you two want to grab the rest of the food from the car? I'll lay out our sleeping bags and put up the sides. Kara's car was in the tiny concrete parking lot about 200 yards from their chosen spot. Lauren and Kara headed off that way through the trees, the woods lit with the final glow of sunset. Don't forget the flashlights, Pip called. Just as she lost sight of them. She attached the canvas sides to the canopy, swearing as the Velcro gave out and she had to start from scratch. Wrestling with the ground sheet, she was relieved to hear the tread of Kara and Lauren returning. But when she went to look outside for them, no one was there. Just a bird, mocking her from the darkening treetops with its scratchy laugh. Pip got back to work. Laying the three sleeping bags in a row, trying not to think about the fact that Andy Bell could very well be buried somewhere in these woods, maybe even beneath her right now. As Pip made the final preparations, the sound of branches breaking underfoot grew louder, and she heard the guffawing that could only mean the boys had arrived. She waved them and the girls over. Aunt Lo, who, as his name suggested, hadn't grown much since they were 12, although he had bulked out after a summer of playing soccer, his light brown hair gelled away from his forehead. Zach Chen, who'd lived four doors down from the Amobis since Pip was in preschool, his glittering smile stretching across his face, and of course wearing his favorite green hoodie. And Connor Reynolds, who Pip and Kara had met in middle school, gangly and ever eager to be the class clown. His shaggy blonde hair had fallen into his eyes, and his hands were full, carrying a cooler with Zach. So he inadvertently walked into a low-hanging branch. You okay? Lauren laughed. Fine, he grunted. My mom's always telling me to branch out. God, your puns get worse every time, Kara said. How are you ever going to get a girlfriend? Well, how are you ever going to get a girlfriend? He retorted. With my hot bod and twinkling personality, ob, she said, donning a silly high voice and flicking her hair. Ah, Pip, Aunt chimed in, dropping two bags of snacks. So kind of you to step away from your homework for 1 second to grace us with your presence. Ha, she said flatly. Shockingly, not the first time she'd heard that joke. I'm already getting withdrawal. Right, Lauren clapped her hands. Aunt, can you help me unpack these bags? Of course he would. He jumped to it right away. Pip knew that Lauren and Aunt had had a failed fling last year that amounted to just 4 kisses and some drunken fumbling. Lauren swore never again, and she said Aunt felt the same way, but Pip could tell he was lying from the way he was always looking at her. Shall we open the beer? Asked Zach. A silver-tinted darkness had taken over the woods, the enclosure glowing like a lantern among the sleeping trees. They were sitting in a circle around the snacks and drinks, the sides of the canopy rolled up for a cross breeze, 2 battery-powered lamps and 3 flashlights between them. Lucky they had moved to sit inside, Pip noted, as it started to rain. She didn't like drinking, didn't like experiencing that loss of control, though the others always said she was being too sensible. She was much more interested in the chips and sour cream dip, although she had allowed herself to get to the bottom of 1 beer, sitting with her navy star-patterned sleeping bag up to her waist. Aunt was halfway through his ghost story, the flashlight under his chin, making the geography of his face distorted and grotesque. It just happened to be a story about 6 friends, 3 boys and 3 girls, who were camping in a canopy in the woods. And the birthday girl, he said theatrically, is finishing off a whole bag of peach rings and drinking some nasty red concoction that looks like blood. Shut up, Kara said, mouth full. She tells the handsome guy with the flashlight to shut up. And that's when they hear it. A scraping sound against the side of the canopy. There's something or someone outside. Slowly, fingernails start dragging through the side, ripping a hole in the canvas. You guys having a party? A girl's voice asks. And then she tears through the hole and, with 1 swipe of her hand, slits the throat of the guy in the green hoodie. Miss me? She shrieks, and the surviving friends can finally see who it is. The rotting zombie corpse of Andy Bell, out for revenge! Shut up, Aunt, Pip shoved him. That isn't funny. Why's everyone laughing, then? A murdered girl isn't fair game for your crappy jokes. But she's fair game for a school project, Zach interjected. That's different. I was just about to get to the part about Andy's secret older lover slash killer, Aunt said. Pip shot him a blistering look. Lauren told me, he said quietly. Kara told me, Lauren jumped in, slurring the edges of her words. Kara? Pip turned to her. I'm sorry, she said, tripping over the words because she was the wrong side of 4 measures of vodka. I didn't know it was supposed to be secret. I only told Naomi and Lauren, and I told them not to tell anyone. She swayed, pointing accusatorially at Lauren. It was true. Pip hadn't specifically told her to keep it secret. She didn't think she had to. My project isn't to provide you with gossip. She tried to flatten out her voice when it spiked with annoyance, looking from Kara to Lauren to Aunt. Doesn't matter, Aunt said. Like half our grade knows you're doing a project about Andy Bell. And why are we talking about homework on our last Friday night of freedom anyway? Zach, bring out the board. What board? Kara asked. I brought a Ouija board. Cool, huh? Zack said, dragging his bag over. He pulled out a tacky, plastic-looking rectangle and laid it out in the middle of the circle. Nope, Lauren said, crossing her arms. No way. That's way over the scary boundary. Stories are fine, but no communicating with spirits. Pip snorted at the boys trying to convince Lauren so they could pull whatever prank it was they had planned. She reached over the Ouija board to grab another bag of chips. And that's when she saw it. A white light flashed from within the trees. She sat up on her heels and squinted. It happened again. In the distance, a small rectangular light turned into view and then disappeared, like the glow of a phone screen. She waited, but the light didn't come back. There was only darkness, the sound of rain in the air, the silhouettes of sleeping trees. Until one of the dark tree figures shifted on two legs. Guys, she said quietly, a small kick to Ant's shin to shut him up. No one look now, but I think there's someone in the trees, watching us.